for the service tonight and just believe in God. And what you'll need to do before you stand, I'm going to have you stand. John chapter 6, I'm going to need you to hold your place in four different places. Okay? We're going to look at the parallel gospels. Looking at the parallel gospels. This same story I'm going to try to bring to you tonight. There it is. Start with Matthew 14. Hold your place there at John 6. I don't know how much preach it'll be, but we'll give you a lesson tonight. If God get in it, we'll preach it. But John chapter 6. Now go to Matthew 14. If you've got plenty of bookmarkers, piece of paper, whatever, you'll want to put your Matthew 14. I'm going to even do the same. Mark chapter 6 is the third place. My springboard is John 6. That's where we're going to read here in just a minute. Mark chapter 6. And then we've got Luke chapter number 9. If you study your Bible, you may know what we're going to look at tonight. Okay, so Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John chapter number 6. All righty. Now, you may stand. John chapter number 6. I'll put my phone up there so I know what time it is. Too late, it's whited out on me, so I can't see it. So when you get done, you just tell me you're done, okay? But we'll try to mind the Lord. John chapter number 6. I want to begin reading verse number 1. Very familiar. And I don't want you to, be bored tonight just for the, the reading of the text. And very familiar. I mean, even some of these little guys that's in here, they know this story. This is not really a story. It's actual Bible fact. And that's one thing we get mixed up on, saying Bible stories. And it's not really a story. This is just a Bible fact that what happened. I believe the Word of God. John chapter number 6, beginning reading in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat?" And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. But Philip answered Him and said, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, "There is a lad here." Let me stop here and a little side note. You can be used at whatever age. There is a lad here. God used a little lad to provide a lunch that day for the Lord, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they'd seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Thank you. May be seated. Pray with us and for us. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come to You in prayer tonight, well, thank You, Lord, for many blessings to us. Thank You, Lord, for seemingly a good spirit in the house of the Lord tonight. And Lord, I'm glad that we can come into the house of the Lord and get to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowship with Him and enjoy the good things of God and sing the songs and as the promises were said and what blessings they was. And Lord, the prayer time. And dear God, now as we break open the bread of life, because You said, I am the bread of life. And Lord, I'm glad, God, that we can eat of the bread of life tonight. We can eat of the Word of God. Lord, I'm asking, God, unless You feed us, it's not going to get done, because no man, not in myself, I can't do it, but I must have the Spirit working through me and on me, Father. I'm praying, Lord, that You'll just bless those in attendance tonight under the sound of our voice, that You please will touch them and help them, speak to them in some way, dear Lord. And those that may be struggling, Lord, may this message help them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Like I said, I know this first part is just going to, it's going to be fast, all right? And I just want to share some things with you. Looking at the four Gospels, and what we call these is parallel Gospels, when you will find a story in more than one of the books, in one of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So they're the Gospels. I want you to, first of all, look in Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to set the stage tonight thinking about John chapter 6. Please keep your finger there. And I want to pull out a statement in John chapter 6, but I want to go here first. Matthew chapter number 14. I want you to look at a place, the place of where they were at. In Matthew 14 and verse 13, the Bible said, when Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the city. Okay, in verse number 15, jumping down, and when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place. Now, if you recall, probably back in those days, and especially even nowadays, I'm sure that the land and the location over there is pretty dry. It's pretty much all a desert place over there. And so I want you to think about that desert place. And when you think about a desert, you think of something, a place that's dry. You think about it, it's dreary. Things die when they get in the desert, unless it's made for the desert, like a lot of cactuses and stuff like that. But I want you to really concentrate on the deadness and the dryness and just a hot place to be. But this is a desert place. Now you turn with me to Mark chapter number 6. We will come back to Matthew. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31... it said, and he said, let me go to verse 30. After the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught, He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Well, that's amazing, going into a desert place and resting a while. Well, one old timer of the old faith said, you better come apart or you will come apart. For there were many coming and going. And that's what He was saying. He said, come yourself apart. You know, go and get in a desert place and you better rest. There comes a time in our Christian lives, hey, we better get away from this world. We better get away from ourselves and lock ourselves in our closet and lock ourselves in our bedroom and get with God and find out what God wants to speak to us in our desert places. That's kind of what I'm wanting to deal with tonight. But for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much. In verse number 35, you'll see it again. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him, said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Right? Now go to Luke. You're going to learn your Bible tonight. In Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 10. Probably the most Bible you've read all week. Luke chapter 9 and verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told Him all they had done. And He said unto them, and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And in verse number 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto Him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and countries round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. And then He don't say anything in John about a desert place. But let me kind of deal with about the parallels. I don't want to, for maybe new converts. But four different Gospels written by four different people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of these books is on their perspective. How they seen it. And John, he didn't really notice that it was a desert place. So he didn't pin that down. And we read that. But seven times in these parallel Gospels, it said something about a desert place. All right, now I want you to turn for three times in Matthew chapter number 14. And then I'll get to John and I'll tell you what intrigued me about this and got me studying this afternoon. I actually studied one message, and then when I got home from picking the kids up from school, this one right here, I couldn't get away from it. But in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, I want you to notice something else. Get that desert place in your mind. Get that desert place. All around you may seem desert. Maybe in your Christian life, all around you may seem like a desert place. Because it's dry out these doors. That's the reason we need to make this place. I'm probably jumping ahead of myself. That's the reason we need to make a place right here at RBT where we can come in to come apart out of that desert place and get around the good things of God. Because it's dry. It's dead. It's dreary. It's dreary out there. But in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 14, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Took the five loaves and two fishes. And of course, that's when he blessed it. Okay? Mark chapter 6. Hope you're having fun. Mark chapter 6 and verse 39. Mark 6, 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. On the green grass. Now back to John chapter 6. I want you to see this. This was the statement. When I read through the Bible last year, when I was reading, and I got to John, and I was reading this, and this statement, I mean just out of nowhere, until I got to looking at the other Gospels and I seen, well, it's mentioned there too. But in John 6 and verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down, period. Now there was much grass in the place. I read that and I said, God, what are you doing right there? Now there was much grass in the place. So that got me thinking just a little bit. Why would God have put right there in the middle? Of course, then I seen it in Matthew and I seen it there in Mark, we talked about green grass. And I thought about that. I thought, Miss Paula Sue, about green. We study, we talk about the different colors in the Bible and what like blue means and purple meaning royalty and red meaning the blood and white, being washed clean. And I thought about green. When you think about green, most of the time I do, if you know them anymore, you can give them to me. But when I think about green, I think about growth. Growing. You know, the Bible says to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. And then I also think about praise. Growth and praise. So right here in the midst of a desert place, you'll find there was some green grass. And he wanted them to sit down on green grass. This might blow your mind tonight. What I want to preach tonight is finding your greeny place in a desert place. And I want to try to help you tonight. And if you're discouraged and you feel like a desert all around you, hey, I want to try to help you tonight. But finding your grassy place in a desert place. I want you to notice the time period it was in the day, and I won't have you turn. I won't have you turn back just for these. I could go to three different places in the Gospels, but in Matthew it talks about it was evening. The day had already been spent. Also in Matthew 14, 15, the time is now past. It's getting down at the end of the day. And people's been, even Jesus himself, he's probably been walking, he's probably been, he'd been teaching. If you go back and study what happened prior to that, and people's been working, they've been out laboring, and it come down to the evening tide. In Mark, he talked about the day was now far spent in Mark 6, 35, and you can study all four of these Gospels. In Luke 9, it talks about the day began to wear away. It was getting down to the evening time. And the day was just about over. It was almost time to go home, go to bed. And Jesus, thinking about the multitude, He wanted to feed them. And that's where we pick up in our story, where He wants to feed the multitude. There's no doubt that probably at the evening time they was getting hungry. Here they was in a desert place, and things was going on in their life, and just going this way and that way. And if we ever get in our mind that we're just like that sometimes, we get so busy with this daily life, and we get so busy and finding out what where we need to be this time and this time, but we've never sometimes we forget to eat. Maybe. I'm always finding time to stop and to eat. But, you know, maybe sometimes we do that. I mean, I've found myself just get so busy, you just forget about eating until it comes down at the end of the day. Say, man, I am hungry. Well, I just wonder if in our day, in our desert place in the Christian life, do we ever get to the place where, man, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. It's dry. Everything around us is dead. Everything around us is so dreary. I'm going to say tonight, we better find us a good grassy knoll somewhere and get around the things of God. And I'm going to give you a few things about this grass here just a little bit. But it was come down to the end of the day and God wanted to feed them. We better find our grassy place in a desert place. But I thought about this, and just as soon as I read that verse, now there was much grass in the place, I thought about, that's what got me thinking about green, before I seen there in Mark where it said a green grass. Now I thought about that, about the grass, I mean green, and what it represented maybe spiritually. But then it wasn't long that God gave me 4 points about this particular place. Where Jesus had them set. He had them set in a grassy place, right in the midst of a desert place. But the first thing I want you to notice, first thing, here's my outline. That was all introduction. The thing about this grassy place, there was much grass in the place. The first thing, this was a place of compassion. This was a place of compassion. 9 verses in just the 4 chapters that we read, 9 verses talks about, well, in Matthew, he was moved with compassion. In Matthew, even in chapter 9, in another particular time, Matthew 14 and 14, he was moved with compassion. Many times as Jesus saw the multitude, he found himself being moved with compassion. And if you look at word compassionate, it means to have the bowels yearn. There's a yearning deep down inside. And Jesus had a yearning deep down inside. You know, He was 100% man, but He is also 100% God. So this 100% man had a yearning deep inside. And this 100% God had a yearning deep inside. I see the multitude. This multitude has needs. Just like you and I do tonight, we've got needs. And Jesus, I wonder at how sometimes He can have compassion on silly little old me. But He sees my condition. He sees my need. So He has compassion even on myself that He would come and knock on my heart's door. He saw my need in November 18, 1979. He can see your need that He comes tonight knocking. He has compassion on you. He sees your need. This was a place of compassion. Mark, he said he's moved with compassion. Also in Matthew 20, I missed this one. Jesus had compassion on them. Mark 5:19, hath compassion on thee. This one was a real good one. Mark chapter 6, verse 34, you can read it later. He was moved with compassion. He seen them as a sheep without a shepherd. Nobody to lead the way. A sheep without a shepherd. Mark 8:2, I have compassion on the multitude. Luke 7:13, He had compassion on her in another different issue there. But to have the bowels yearn, to feel sympathy, to have pity. And that's what Jesus was feeling here. And just like I said tonight, He sees every need in this building, and He has compassion. He wants to deal with you. He wants to meet your need. There's needs in the building tonight of lost people. By your profession, as I said a while ago, by your profession and you're raising your hands and what you tell people, I'm not saved, I'm lost, I need a Savior. But He had compassion. And I want to say that example ought to get in me, Miss Amanda. I want to have a compassion that when I see the multitude, when I see the few that's sitting in here, I want to have the compassion, number one, that I'll pray for the lost people. I want to have the compassion when I see the lost people that I would just say, hey, simply, Jesus loves you. Hey, that'll get a lot done. Just saying Jesus loves you, giving a testimony. I'll say tonight, lost people, Jesus loves you. My brother Craig loves you too. And there's people sitting here by your profession as you're lost, I've prayed for. I've been praying for. I'm still looking. I'm still believing God. Just like your parents is believing God. Just like this pastor that pastors this church is just believing God. They'll deal with you. And God will have compassion on you. Oh, and show you mercy. Boy, I'm glad He showed me mercy that day. Many times as God shows mercy and compassion. And what are to get you is how much God loves you. Well, this was a place of compassion. He seen the multitude and He was moved. There was yearning that people needed, that there was people that needed to eat. And I was giving you that example in 1 Peter 3 and 8. You don't have to turn there. But in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 8, it says, finally be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. It might not just be for the lost people. It might be that saint of God that's having some struggles, that's really going through some trials in their life. And I know there's been times in my life when I was having trials. Well, there was people that had compassion on me. And I know they prayed for me. And they come and told me they loved me. Said, I'm praying for you. Well, I want to, Brother Tim, I've said this so many times. I want to get to the place when somebody said pray for them. I want to be able to do that and be able to pray for them, have compassion on them. I read that verse to you. Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. Boy, that ought to be within, that yearning inside. May we have that same compassion as Jesus Himself did. This grassy place, this place where there was much grass, boy, this was a place of compassion. In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse 17, I think it is. Yes, but whoso hath this world's goods, seeth his brother have a need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Well, again, I have to say thank you. And I know there's been some in here. The time, there was a time I was laid off, and many of you helped our need. Church helped our needs when I was laid off. Well, that was compassion. That showed me you loved me. Even when I was working and somebody said, I just feel like the Lord wanted me to give this to you. That was an issue not too long ago. Somebody gave me money and I'm thinking, you know, I'm fine. You know, I'm working, I'm fine, but, you know, praise the Lord. I didn't realize it, but I was going to need it in a few days. And God supplied it beforehand. Boy, having compassion. And in return, I want to do the same for other people. And I have. When God blessed us and God said, give it, I give it. I want to be mindful of the Holy Ghost on that, or you're just out some money. Man. Jude chapter number 1, I want you to see this one. But we're looking, let's have that compassion like Jesus. Boy, in Jude verse 22, and of some having compassion making a difference. I'm going to have to go back to verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto everlasting life, and of some having compassion making a difference. How? Others save with fire, pulling them out of the fire. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Having compassion, making a difference. And we can make a difference. As individuals, as families, as a church, we can make a difference in the lives of people. Just being moved with compassion. But back in John chapter 6, and the second thing I seen, not only a place of compassion, and Jesus was the one who was showing that compassion, but I also noticed this was a place of comfort. Well, in the springtime, thank God it is coming around the corner. My favorite time of the year. There's nothing like springtime, and there you find some nice grass that you could just lay down in. I know the kids, they get behind the apartment, and they'll be playing basketball or something, and I'll find myself on the little hill there sitting in the grass. What a place of comfort that was. And I can imagine even this day when Jesus said, set them down in the green grass, set them on the grass. I could just see some of them now, probably been in the fields all day, probably been laboring and toiling. I could just see them now as they just plop back. Boy, this is a good place to be. Well, I'm telling you, we better find our grassy place in a desert place. We better find ourselves getting away and relaxing and resting in Jesus. Because here was Jesus. He was going to do something. He was going to perform a miracle. And he's wanting to sit them down. But it was a place of comfort. And as I studied about that place, more than likely, and I mentioned it a while ago, it probably getting springtime. And it was because it was almost the Passover time. And so it was nice and plush, and it maybe even hadn't been mowed yet. Boy, now that even feels good. When you just lay down in some unmowed grass, it feels good. You might itch a little bit after you get up, but hey, a grassy place, it feels good. But there's 15 verses that talks about comfort, and I want to give just a few of them to you, all right? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. You'll tell Brother Barry, never let me preach again. It's a crazy thing. In Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 4, I'm just trying to help you to find you a grassy place in a desert place. Find you a place of compassion. Get in that place of compassion. Get in that place of comfort, that rest and relaxation. In Romans 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." Where do we find that, not only that grassy place, but where will we find comfort? Through the Word of God. Here they was getting ready to be fed by the living Word, because he said that He was the Word of God. There in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Even in verse number 14, "And the Word became flesh." So here they was, right there in front of them was the Word. But there's, like us, when we find our grassy place in a desert place, that dry time, those dreary times, those dead times, you can find the Word of God for our learning through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Boy, how many times have we been going through a trial? I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there. Pick up the Word of God and start reading. It just feeds your soul. And you find comfort in the Word of God. Find comfort maybe in someone else. And I know sometimes it's real good. And I love fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. You help me. Well, I like what Brother Mike Compton said not too long ago, and I've heard him say it before, but you help him. That's what he says. You help him. You help bless him. And I say ditto for me too. Hey, you help me. You bless me. You stand to testify. You give me something. Help me in comfort. Hey, but when that's all gone and I'm by myself and I'm in the midst of my trial, and maybe you don't know about it, but sometimes I'll say, "I need you to pray for me." But there's times that I just need to go pray myself. Get in the Word of God myself. Find that place of comfort. Boy, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse number 3, we're talking about comfort here. Well, this grassy place was a place of comfort. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. "But he that prophesies, speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." 2 Corinthians. Oh, it's one of them I really wanted to read here. Let me get to it. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3, here it is. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Look at here. Who comforteth us. Now it's an ETH, that's a continuous comfort. He continuously comforts me. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How many times that we've been comforted? And we say, why are we going through this? Maybe a death of a loved one. Maybe a loved one that's had cancer. Maybe the loss of an infant. Maybe a miscarriage. Why am I going through this? But just so happens when God comforts you, and you've got help and you got strength, just down the road there might be somebody going through the same thing as you've been there. And you're able to say, I've been there. Well, that's something that's helped me. When people has told me, said, Brother Craig, I've been there. I know exactly what you went through. I know exactly what you're going through now. And that let me know I'm not the only thing. I'm not the only one in this thing. Oh, but I really like this one. And I know Brother Billy does too. And he here in verse, and there's all kinds of verses. If you want them, I'll give them to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. You can go home and look up comfort yourself. Do a good Bible study. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 18. He is just talking about the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So here we're reminded again, Jesus is coming. And we can be comforted that one of these days, this old world, we can say goodbye. Go world, goodbye. We can be comforted in the thing in Jesus Christ coming back. Well, let me move on. That was the second. It was a place of compassion. It was a place of comfort. But also I see this grassy place, this grassy area was a place of communion. Now, I see it now. There was 5,000 men, and it said 5,000 men. That did not even count the women and the children. So there was a lot more than that. And you can study it through the parallel Gospels. You'll find it read there. But it was a place of communion. Here they was, families gathering together. It was a time that they got together and they could talk. How was your day? Oh, mine was fine. How was your day? Oh, lovely. How's the family? La, 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 la. You know how we do it when we get here. Just as soon as we walk through the door, we're fellowshipping with one another. I'm sure they wasn't all sitting there just stone-faced and just looking ahead. What's this man going to do for us? I'm sure they were communing with each other. And that's the reason I like RBT. That I could get with my brothers and sisters in Christ and I could commune with you and you could commune with me. I hope that maybe through the years I've helped you some way. Like you've helped me in days past. This communion and having that's a good time of fellowship. Well, I love fellowship. Amen. You already know I like to shake hands. I like fellowship. But not only fellowship and coming into a place of communion, but maybe at your house when you're in that desert place and you say, I'm going to have to go to my place, my green pastures. I'm going to have to go to my little greeny knoll. You know, even I think about Brother Barry. And there in that place up near the spring back when he was at home. And thank God I had an opportunity one day. And that was that right there. Brother Tim was such an honor to me. Me and another preacher, it was at our church at that time. And when his mom passed away, and we went over there. It was either mom or dad, but I think it was his mom. When we went over, he said, come on, you two of you, I want to take you somewhere. Oh, I knew just as soon as we started walking up that trail. He showed us the place that he went to pray. Oh, we even got a time of prayer there. And I felt the same God that he said he prayed to, that he had the time, that he shook a tree, fellowshiped with the bushes, had a good time of fellowship. There's going to be places that you're going to have to get away in a dry and desert land. You're going to have to find that green pasture, number one, that where you could grow. Oh, when Jesus comes and helps you, that's when you're going to praise him. But it's a place of communion, fellowshipping with others. But what about those times when you need some fellowship and you're all by yourself? Oh, you can call old Brother Craig. You can call him at 367-0097. You could commune with me. I promise you, I'll commune with you if I'm not at work. But I may not get to talk to you as long because I may have other things. But I'm telling you this. There's one that's never too busy. There's one that right there at your place, where your little greeny place, where you can get alone with God in a desert place, that you could bow and you could say, God, I need some help. I need you to help me. It's dry. It's dead. My life is dry. My life is a desert place right now, God, and I'm needing some comfort through the Word of God. And I'm needing you to speak to me. I'm needing you to touch me. I'm needing you to help me during this time of my trial. Then you can get the Word of God out. And I've said it already, but you get the Word of God and God starts speaking to you. Oh, don't let it be a two-way conversation. Don't you do all the talking. Just rattle off, God do this, God do that, give me this, give me that. You just be still and listen to Him for a while. You get in that Word of God and let Him speak to you. I don't know who you are tonight. There may not be anybody in this place tonight that's find yourself in a desert place. Maybe everybody's found their greeny place. Well, it's also a place of consumption. Amen. That place of communion, no doubt Jesus probably talked to them. No doubt He probably talked to them. He didn't sit up there like a statue. He said, I'm going to do one thing, I'm going to feed them, and that's it. Oh, but first He communed with God, blessed the bread and the fish and fed them. But no doubt He probably talked to them. Some of the little kids might have come up to Him, said, Sir, who are you? Mom and Dad hadn't even told me about you yet. I've seen you walking around here. Sir, who are you? Why do you look that way? Why are you so nice to me? You know how kids are. My goodness. I've had hundreds of questions just out of my children over the year. You know how it is. But I guarantee you, I'm going to get blessed here just a little bit. Hey, I can see it, but I guarantee you when that little kid come up and said, Sir, will you answer my question? He didn't say, Leave me alone. You know, even the Bible said He put him on his knee, except you come as a little child. Or maybe that elderly man walked by and said, Well, who are you? You know, had all these questions and probably was able to speak to him. You say, It don't say a thing about that. No doubt, hey, I'm just reading into it. He communed with them. Maybe He taught them some things. Now, granted, it was a big crowd, and most of them wasn't there to hear from Jesus. More than likely. And that would have took me back to my other message I was going to preach. But I won't get that out. But it was a place of communion. But it's also a place of consumption. They were fed. No doubt, at the end of the day, they were hungry. And I'll end with this. It was a place of consumption. Maybe y'all got some more you want to give me. But they were hungry. Through the parallel Gospels, you find in all four of them, it talked about He blessed it, thanked the Lord, blessed it, He gave to the disciples, and the disciples give to the people, spread it out. They ate and they were filled. Matthew 14 and all the Gospels, you can study it out. But in Matthew 4:4, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want something from God, hey, you get hungry enough. You get hungry enough for the Word, He's going to feed you. Oh, and there's things, when you get to reading, now I'm trying my best to read through the Word of God this year and come across, and just like I did this right here last year in John chapter number 6, and just that statement stuck out. Hey, I went and wrote it down. And Brother Barry's encouraged us. If God gives you something, you better write it down or you will forget it. And when I was reading Psalms here just the other day, it was just three things that just stuck out to me and I pinned it down. The message I studied earlier, when I was reading through it, I come across just three things. I mean, just right there in the Scriptures. I wrote it down and I said, I'll use it. The Lord will give me a chance to preach, I'll use it. Just like I did this stall, there was much grass in the place. Place of consumption. Are we hungry enough for the Word of God? I'm going to tell you, we better find us a grassy place and a desert place. I know this was unusual, but I hope the Lord will help us. In these days and times, we get alone with God. Let God have compassion. Let God give you some comfort. Let God commune with you. But also let Him feed you. You can be fed, even from the man of God. I thought about this. You know, Jesus, He blessed it. He gave the disciples. And then the disciples give. Well, how many times as servants, like our pastor, Brother Pridmore, myself, or even our Sunday school teachers. And I thank God, Sunday school teachers are important people as well. And they're important to this church. Or just anybody that testifies or speaks or just gives something. God says, feed my people with this. Sunday school teachers, let God feed you, and then in return you feed the people. You feed our students. You feed us as students. Same way with us as men of God. Just like our pastor. Well, we better find us a place, a little grassy place, and get alone with Him. That's where we're going to get our help. Simple, simple thought tonight. But I hope it'll help us. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come to You in prayer. Lord, I want to thank You for Your goodness and mercy.